Chapter 29. Well, tonight be it. And she requested the devil Mercurius to give her the prayer book from under the table, but he had no sooner touched the holy book than he dropped it with a shriek and a yell. It was odder, he said, than his master Sir Lucifer's own particular pitchfork. And the lady was forced to begin her ave without the aid of her missal. At the commencement of her devotions the demon retired, and carried with him the anxious soul of poor Sir Roger de Rallo. The lady knelt down, she sighed deeply, she looked again at the clock, and began, Avenue Maria. When a lute was heard under the window, and a sweet voice singing, Hark! Said Matilda. Ah, the toils of day are over, and the sun hath sunk to rest, seeking, like a fiery lover, the bosom of the blushing west, the faithful night keeps watch and ward, raising the moon, her silver shield, and summoning the stars, to guard the slumbers of my fair Mathild. For mercy's sake, said Sir Rallo, the ave first, and next the song. So Matilda again dutifully betook her to her devotions, and began, Ave Maria Gratia Plena, but the music began again, and the prayer ceased of course. Ye faithful knight, now all things lie hid by her mantle dark and dim, in pious hope I hither hie, and humbly chant mine evening hymn. Who art my prayer, my saint, my shrine? For never holy pilgrim kneeled, or wept at feet more pure than thine, my virgin love, my sweet Mathild. Virgin love, said the Baron. Pon my soul, this is too bad, and he thought of the lady's lover whom he had caused to be hanged. But she only thought of him who stood singing at her window. Niece Matilda, cried Sir Roger, agonizedly, wilt thou listen to the lies of an impudent page, whilst thine uncle is waiting but a dozen words to make him happy? At this Matilda grew angry, Colin Edward is neither impudent nor a liar, Sir Uncle, and I will listen to the end of the song. Come away, said Mercurius. He hath yet got wheeled, field, sealed, congealed, and a dozen other rhymes beside, and after the song will come the supper. So the poor soul was obliged to go, while the lady listened, and the page sung away till morning. My virtues have been my ruin, said poor Sir Rallo, as he and Mercurius slunk silently out of the window. Had I hanged that knave Edward, as I did the page his predecessor, my niece would have sung mine ave, and I should have been by this time an angel in heaven. He is reserved for wiser purposes, responded the devil Colin. He will assassinate your successor, the Lady Mathild's brother, and, in consequence, will be hanged. In the love of the lady he will be succeeded by a gardener, who will be replaced by a monk, who will give way to an ostler, who will be deposed by a Jew peddler, who shall, finally, yield to a noble earl, the future husband of the fair Mathild. So that, you see, instead of having one poor soul a-frying, we may now look forward to a goodly harvest for our lord the devil. The soul of the Baron began to think that his companion knew too much for one who would make fair bets, but there was no help for it. He would not, and he could not, cry off. And he prayed inwardly that the brother might be found more pious than the sister. But there seemed little chance of this. As they crossed the court, lackeys, with smoking dishes, and full jugs, passed and repassed continually, although it was long past midnight. On entering the hall, they found Sir Randall at the head of a vast table, surrounded by a fiercer and more motley collection of individuals than had congregated there even in the time of Sir Rallo. The lord of the castle had signified that tea was his royal pleasure to be drunk, and the gentlemen of his train had obsequiously followed their master. Mercurius was delighted with the scene, and relaxed his usually rigid countenance into a bland and benevolent smile, which became him wonderfully. The entrance of Sir Roger, who had been dead about a year, and a person with hoofs, horns, and a tail, rather disturbed the hilarity of the company. Sir Randall dropped his cup of wine, and Father Peter, the confessor, incontinently paused in the midst of a profane song, with which he was amusing the society. Holy Mother! Cried he, it is Sir Roger! Alive! screamed Sir Randall. No, my lord, Mercurius said. Sir Roger is dead, but cometh on a matter of business, and I have the honor to act as his counselor and attendant. Nephew, said Sir Roger, the demon saith justly, I am come on a trifling affair, in which thy service is essential. I will do anything, uncle, in my power. Thou canst give me life, if thou wilt. But Sir Randall looked very blank at this proposition. Mean life spiritual, Randall, said Sir Roger, and thereupon he explained to him the nature of the wager. Whilst he was telling his story, his companion Mercurius was playing all sorts of antics in the hall, and, by his wit and fun, became so popular with this godless crew, that they lost all the fear which his first appearance had given them. The friar was wonderfully taken with him, and used his utmost eloquence and endeavors to convert the devil. The knights stopped drinking, to listen to the argument. The men-at-arms forbore brawling, and the wicked little pages crowded round the two strange disputants, to hear their edifying discourse. The ghostly man, however, had little chance in the controversy, and certainly little learning to carry it on. Sir Randall interrupted him. Aether Peter, said he, our kinsman is condemned forever, for want of a single ave. Wilt thou say it for him? Illingly, my lord, said the monk, with my book, and accordingly he produced his missal to read, without which aid it appeared that the Holy Father could not manage the desired prayer. But the crafty Mercurius had, by his devilish art, inserted a song in the place of the Ave, so that Father Peter, instead of chanting an hymn, sang the following irreverent ditty, Om Love the Matin Chimes, which toll the hour of prayer to sinner. But better far's the midday bell, which speaks the hour of dinner. For when I see a smoking fish, or capon drowned in gravy, or noble haunch on silver dish, full glad I sing mine ave. Why pulpit is an alehouse bench, whereon I sit so jolly, a smiling rosy country wench my saint and patron holy. I kiss her cheek so red and sleek, I press her ringlets wavy, and in her willing ear I speak a most religious ave. And if I'm blind, yet heaven is kind, and holy saints forgiving. For sure he leads a right good life who thus admires good living. Above, they say, our flesh is air, our blood celestial liquor. Oh, grant, mid all the changes there, they may not change our liquor. And with this pious wish the holy confessor tumbled under the table in an agony of devout drunkenness, whilst the knights, the men-at-arms, and the wicked little pages, rang out the last verse with a most melodious and emphatic glee. I'm sorry, fair uncle, hiccuped Sir Randall, that, in the matter of the Ave, we could not oblige thee in a more orthodox manner, but the Holy Father has failed, and there is not another man in the hall who hath an idea of a prayer. It is my own fault, said Sir Rollo, for I hanged the last confessor. And he wished his nephew a surly good night, as he prepared to quit the room. Au revoir, gentlemen, said the devil Mercurius, and once more fixed his tail round the neck of his disappointed companion. The spirit of poor Rollo was sadly cast down. The devil, on the contrary, was in high good humor. He wagged his tail with the most satisfied air in the world, and cut 100 jokes at the expense of his poor associate. On they sped, cleaving swiftly through the cold night winds, frightening the birds that were roosting in the woods, and the owls that were watching in the towers. In the twinkling of an eye, as it is known, devils can fly hundreds of miles. So that almost the same beat of the clock which left these two in Champagne, found them hovering over Paris. They dropped into the court of the Lazarist convent, and wended their way, through passage and cloister, until they reached the door of the prior's cell. Now the prior, Rollo's brother, was a wicked and malignant sorcerer. His time was spent in conjuring devils, and doing wicked deeds, instead of fasting, scourging, and singing holy psalms. This Mercurius knew, and he, therefore, was fully at ease, as to the final result of his wager with poor Sir Roger. You seem to be well acquainted with the road, said the knight. I have reason, answered Mercurius, having, for a long period, had the acquaintance of his reverence, your brother, but you have little chance with him. And why? Said Sir Rollo. He is under a bond to my master, never to say a prayer, or else his soul and his body are forfeited at once. Why, thou false and traitorous devil, said the enraged knight, and thou knewest this, when we made our wager. Undoubtedly. Do you suppose I would have done so had there been any chance of losing? And with this, they arrived at Father Ignatius's door. Thy cursed presence threw a spell on my niece, and stopped the tongue of my nephew's chaplain. I do believe that had I seen either of them alone, my wager had been won. Certainly, therefore, I took good care to go with thee. However, thou mayest see the prior alone, if thou wilt, and lo, his door is open. I will stand without for 5 minutes, when it will be time to commence our journey. It was the poor baron's last chance. And he entered his brother's room more for the 5 minutes' respite than from any hope of success. Father Ignatius, the prior, was absorbed in magic calculations. He stood in the middle of a circle of skulls, with no garment except his long white beard, which reached to his knees. He was waving a silver rod, and muttering imprecations in some horrible tongue. But Sir Rollo came forward, and interrupted his incantation. Am, said he, the shade of thy brother Roger de Rollo, and have come, from pure brotherly love, to warn thee of thy fate. Whence camest thou? From the abode of the blessed in paradise, replied Sir Roger, who was inspired with a sudden thought. It was but 5 minutes ago that the patron saint of thy church told me of thy danger and of thy wicked compact with the fiend. Go, apostrophe, said he, to thy miserable brother, and tell him there is but one way by which he may escape from paying the awful forfeit of his bond. Apostrophe, and how may that be? Said the prior, the false fiend hath deceived me. I have given him my soul, but have received no worldly benefit in return. Brother, dear brother, how may I escape? I will tell thee. As soon as I heard the voice of blessed Saint Mary Lazarus, the worthy earl had, at a pinch, coined the name of a saint, I left the clouds, where, with other angels, I was seated, and sped hither to save thee. Thy brother, apostrophe said the saint, hath but one day more to live, when he will become for all eternity the subject of Satan. If he would escape, he must boldly break his bond, by saying an ave. Apostrophe, it is the express condition of the agreement, said the unhappy monk, I must say no prayer, or that instant I become Satan's, body and soul. It is the express condition of the saint, answered Roger, fiercely, pray, brother, pray, or thou art lost forever. So the foolish monk knelt down, and devoutly sung out an ave. Amen, said Sir Roger, devoutly. Amen, said Mercurius. As, suddenly, coming behind, he seized Ignatius by his long beard, and flew up with him to the top of the church steeple. The monk roared, and screamed, and swore against his brother, but it was of no avail. Sir Roger smiled kindly on him, and said, Do not fret, brother, it must have come to this in a year or two. And he flew alongside of Mercurius to the steeple top. But this time the devil had not his tail round his neck. We'll let thee off thy bet, said he to the demon, for he could afford, now, to be generous. I believe, my lord, said the demon, politely, that our ways separate here. Sir Roger sailed gaily upwards. While Mercurius, having bound the miserable monk faster than ever, he sunk downwards. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.